It's hour number two of the Bible study. I'm Chuck Ratchett, the Ask the Pastor Hour. Your questions and comments are welcome on items that have to do with church, faith, religion, or the Bible. You get to set the agenda. Let's say good morning and welcome to a good friend, an old friend, well, a longtime friend, let's put it that way, Pastor Richard Moore, pastor at St. Martin Lutheran Church in Winona, Minnesota. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's the temperature there?
The temperature here today is about 22.
22. Well,
yesterday it was 40, however.
Yeah? Well, that's, yeah. I'll just... You
the ice rink outside my window started melting yesterday. I was not amused.
I want to... I got to ask you something, and this is probably grossly unfair, but we might as well just cut to the chase. Do you as a pastor have an explanation for... Or at least a best guess for the horror that we're seeing in our culture? I'm looking at a story. I'm not even sure how to pronounce this. Bayou Labatre or something like that. The story says a man, angered after a dispute with his wife, confessed to tossing his four young children off a bridge, according to authorities who said Wednesday they were searching for the murky waters for the bodies. Lam Luong, 37 years old, charged with four counts of capital murder, told authorities Tuesday night that he drove to the Dauphin Island Bridge and dropped the children from a span that reaches 80 feet in places, according to Detective Scott Rivera. Luong came to coastal Alabama from Vietnam in 1984, worked in the commercial fishing industry as a shrimper. Police Chief John Joyner and a relative said that he had argued with his wife before taking the children and throwing them off the bridge. Now, we have had some extraordinary crime in our time. You and I, we've been around for a while.
Yes, we have.
And there's nothing new under the sun. But this kind of criminal behavior, demonic behavior almost.
Depravity.
We seem to be reaching new lows, Pastor.
Well, that's what happens when we as a society encourage people to avoid, abandon, or ignore God. And that's what we're doing in society. We are teaching humanism in our schools. We are doing separation of church and state to the extinction of church and state working together at all. And then we are surprised when people have no true moral course. Humanism is based on the notion that man is basically good. Scripture points out to us very clearly that man is basically evil, and left to our own devices, we will get worse all the time. This isn't the first time man has gotten worse and worse and worse in history. God shortened our lifespan from when there were people living to be 900 to closer to 90 after he completely wiped out humanity because everything that man was doing was evil in the eyes of God. And the longer he lived, the eviler he got. I basically go to Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are sinful, and without Christ in our lives, without the Holy Spirit sanctifying us through baptism and through the work of his word, we all become depraved. To the point where the types of things we see happening in the news, you know what those are? Those are proof of original sin. Those are proof of where mankind goes when you let mankind do his own thing.
Oh, agreed. And we say it daily here. Well, what kind of a monster throws his young children? I mean, these were little children. These were as helpless. I believe the oldest was 3 years old. 3 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, and 4 months old. What kind of a monster throws his children off a bridge into the river?
I think he qualifies up there with the kind of a monster who sends his soldiers to Bethlehem to kill every child who's under two.
Touché.
You know,
But, you know, we've been through the Enlightenment, Pastor. We've come so far in 2,000 years.
That the only light that does any true enlightening of man is God, is Christ, the light of God in Christ brought to us. All the rest of this enlightenment, all the rest of this growth of civilization, all of this, what is the word I'm groping for? Evolution of man's being.
Yeah.
If we're evolving, I think there's a D missing. We're not evolving, we're devolving. Left alone, apart from God, we become more and more and more depraved. It's more about me and what's important to me. I guarantee you that man was not thinking about his kids when he threw them off the bridge. He was thinking about if he didn't have kids, he wouldn't have the problems that he's having. If he didn't have kids, then his wife would have nothing to hold over him in a divorce. If he didn't have kids, it was all about what he wanted. He wasn't getting what he wanted, and so he thought if I got rid of my kids, somehow I would not, they couldn't be used against me, or they wouldn't be that which is requiring me to do, to serve someone other than myself.
You see, it's disgraceful and it's shameful to get in an argument with your wife and then kill her. I mean, that's terrible, but a person can understand that. Crimes of passion, you know, people understand that. But to
get in an argument with your wife and go kill four other people?
Yeah, go kill your own four little kids.
Yeah, but see, we don't know what they were arguing about, and I'm not suggesting for a moment that there's a rationale, because there isn't.
There isn't.
Okay, but if they were arguing about he wasn't providing well enough for the kids, fine. If it's about him, which it obviously was in his mind, then you get rid of everything that makes it about something other than me.
Now,
which, by the way, is the definition of original sin. The definition of original sin is thinking you are the center of the universe.
You're not still one of those people who believes in original sin, are you?
Yes. I not only believe in original sin, I believe that I sometimes attempt to sin originally, but we're not going to go there.
That's a discredited view. A man is a blank slate.
Rousseau was wrong.
He was?
Yeah. The whole tabula rasa thing, you know, where there's just this clear slate and it all depends on what happens in your life. No, it doesn't. We are born as enemies of God. We are born as those who despise his will and his word, because if I do not despise his will and his word, then I will follow it. If I follow it, then I'm not the center of the universe. We are born believing we're the center of the universe. We are born believing we are number one. And everything we see, by the way, I won't say that, hyperbola, back up. Almost everything we see on TV or the internet or, you know, in your magazines is suggesting that basically it's all about you. And what works for you is what you should do.
That's what you got to do if you want to separate me from my money.
Yeah, that would be it.
But now, look, we got to make a distinction here. I'm not killing my children. I'm not killing anybody's children. I've never done anything like this.
All right. Whoa. Now, I'm just going to back up.
Yeah?
Have you ever looked at one of your kids and said, if you do that again, I'll kill you?
I don't think so, but
okay,
I get the point.
You're not from New York. That's a common phrase.
Have they seen my temper? Yes, they have.
On the East Coast, okay? The common phrase is, I will kill you. Now, most parents don't follow through. But Jesus says that if we hate our brother or our child or what have you, right?
Yep.
Then we have already murdered them in our hearts.
See, now you guys always bring this up. You always say this, but you got to understand that, wow, that's not right. Well, what are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
Well, I'm not. Now, nobody would say this right to you, Pastor. But
sure they would. They do things like this all the time.
Do they really?
Yeah, but go ahead.
I'm not going to accept the rap. I'm not taking the rap for the same thing that this beast did to his children. I'm not taking that rap. I'm not that bad. And then along come the religious.
Remember, there are two kingdoms.
Yeah, I know that.
There is the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right.
Right.
In the kingdom of the left, you're right. You are not as bad as him. In the kingdom of the left, you have not broken a law when you hate your child or your neighbor. Okay?
Yeah.
In the kingdom of the left, there is a difference between hitting someone and killing them.
Okay.
There is. In the kingdom of the right, in God's eyes, this is not true. In the kingdom of the right, in how we are to deal with one another with the love and mercy of God, when we hate someone, we are already on the road that leads to that. This man didn't love his wife and his children to death. He had already stopped caring about them. He had gone through the thought process of thinking they're a problem, they're a pain, they're more of a pain than they're worth. You know what I'm saying? That starts, that first step. James puts it this way, thought gives birth to action. The thought leads to the sin.
Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you want to comment on this subject or raise another one, you're welcome to do that. Our guest is Pastor Richard Moore, St. Martin Lutheran Church, Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Skip. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning, sir. Thank you very much for taking my call, and good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Skip.
I am going way, way back, and you may not have been alive, but I remember when Mr. Khrushchev from the Soviet Union, I believe Kennedy was president, but Khrushchev stood up and said that he would take over the United States and never fire a shot. If that wasn't mm-hmm. an antichrist, I have never seen one. And it is time that the Christians get out of their complacency and stand up and make a difference for this world, because one man did it, and we as Christians are more than one man. We can do it because Jesus is behind us.
Pastor Moore, any comments?
Well, you know, I think when Khrushchev was saying he could take over the United States without firing a shot, he was merely saying that if you let us, mankind, go in the direction we're going, it is possible, and we will do it here in America, as we say, you know, you can't force any issue, and everyone has equal rights, and everyone has equal abilities, and there is no right, and there is no wrong, and all of those things. You get yourself to a point where if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. And his point was he wouldn't have to invade. We would destroy ourselves with our abuse of our own freedom. And, you know, I don't agree with Khrushchev on a lot of things, but I do believe it's possible for the United States to abuse our own freedoms to the point where we make individual freedom more important than community. And if we, in fact, make individual freedoms more important than community, so that it is so far out of balance that one person standing in the wilderness can keep everyone else from doing what is right, then he may have a point. We may, in fact, be our own demise.
All right, so as those of us who are citizens of the United States and Christians, and we see the horror of this crime, or we look at it from Khrushchev's perspective, that we will collapse from within, we have an obligation to do something. Now, we just were in Matthew chapter 5 here in our 10:05 Bible study hour with Pastor David Marth, who, by the way, sends you his greetings.
Good.
Apparently,
thank you.
You and he shared some good times together.
Yes, we've worked together on several things.
In the section that we read today from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." When I see a man kill his four small children, that represents the darkest of darkness to me.
Mm-hmm.
And suggests that those who are the light of the world need to say something to that darkness or shine a light into that darkness. I guess if we're going to love our neighbors, we need to see what we can do to turn the tide, bend the culture back in a different direction so that we don't have any more children killed this way. Boy, we're killing a lot of children. Have you noticed that lately, Pastor
Yes.
Moore? We are, in our country, we are killing a lot of young children and preteens, and oh my goodness, it seems like a defenseless woman disappears every other week, never to be seen again. Do the salt and light people have some kind of responsibility, or is this just beyond our reach?
Of course we have a responsibility.
Well, what do you want us to do?
What I want you to do is I want you to go out there and I want you to share Christ with your neighbors. I want you to go out there and I want you to proclaim salvation, proclaim the gospel, and allow the Holy Spirit through the work and the word to bring about a change in individual hearts, which in fact will then change communities. You see, it's not about we need to respond to this particular incident or that particular incident. We need to respond to the mission that God has given the church to go and make disciples. We need to respond to the truth that only the light of Christ can change hearts, and that the light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. But we are called to be that light that shines in the darkness, that proclaims the gospel, that shares forgiveness, that shows people God's worth, the worth God sees in them and their children and one another.
So what do you mean when you say, preach Christ to our communities? I might be hearing you say, the Bible says killing is wrong, so we got to go out and tell people to stop killing. And that's how I preach Christ.
Where was Christ in the statement, stop killing?
Well, it's Christ who said...
You're not preaching Christ. Preach Christ.
Well, if that's not stop killing, then what is it?
It is, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me share with you...
And he's going to tell me to stop
God
killing?
God has given his son to forgive your sin. Let me tell you why you don't have to have despair, but there is hope for our community, for our lives, for your situation. Let me tell you how God would have us live because we are his children, and how by doing so we receive his blessing. It starts with Christ. Will we preach? Will we teach? Will we share the law of God? Yes, absolutely.
Hey, I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear anything you have to say, Pastor Moore. You Christians, you oppress women. You're against abortion. You oppress gay people. You're against homosexual behavior. You people are the enemy, not the friend.
Absolutely.
Well, that's not what I expected you to say.
I know. But absolutely, those two things you just said are true. But let me tell you about who Jesus is. And let me tell you about why, in his word, he says to us, the child that's not yet born is precious. It's not that we're stopping the rights and oppressing women. We are upholding the rights of the woman who is about to be born, who you're killing. It's not that we are oppressing the rights of gay people. And I, by the way, hate the word gay, because gay used to mean happy, but I suppose now it doesn't. But we are saying to them, true happiness cannot be found in a sexual relationship. That's true, by the way, for heterosexuals, too. Sex does not bring true happiness. True happiness comes from Christ and is based on a relationship that is bound to Christ. So when they're saying, leave us alone, we want to be happy, fine, but let me show you how to really be happy. Let me show you what God has done for you that will give you a joy that goes beyond the physical release of sexual activity, regardless of who you're attracted to.
Do you do this?
Yeah, I do.
Do you get the door slammed in your face, figuratively?
Well, yeah, that sometimes. But most of the time, no. Most of the time, they have never heard the what is behind our objection or our statement that homosexuality is incorrect. You sit down with someone and you say to them, so, I understand you're gay. How's it going for you? Are you happy? Are you content with your lifestyle? Have you found someone who is willing to be your partner for the rest of your life? Are you able to say there is a commitment here that says, I am part of this person and they are part of me in a way that cannot be separated?
And they say, yes, yes,
and no,
yes,
they
yes,
don't.
Yes, they don't?
No, they don't. No, they don't. Occasionally I run into someone who says, well, I've been with this person for 9 years. And I say, and so you think it's going to last? I hope so. Yeah, because we have an open relationship where we not only have a relationship with each other, but we can just have sex on the side with other people. And I say, so that really doesn't bother you when they do that? Well, yeah, but I want to be able to, too. You see, when you sit down and seriously talk with people about whether their life is fulfilling, you don't find people who are truly fulfilled who do not have a relationship with the Lord. There is a vacancy there. And all the things that we try to do to fill that vacancy, whether it's be a workaholic or an alcoholic, whether it's to dive into hedonism in a heterosexual sleeping with a whole series of women, or homosexuality sleeping with a whole series of people of our same sex, does not fill the void that is left when we don't have a love relationship with God.
Well, I think most of us believe that if we were to venture out in that territory that you just described, that we'd be embarrassed and humiliated and shamed and discouraged and all kinds of things.
How can you be embarrassed, humiliated, shamed? I understand discouraged. The other ones, if you are merely sharing with someone what God has done for you,
because
you are not saying to them, you have to come along. Let me just tell you why I'm a Christian. Don't tell them they can't be what they are. Tell them why you're a Christian. Tell them the difference it makes in your life that God has claimed you as his own, has forgiven your sins, and has freed you to love people rather than to be hating other people. The amazing thing about these people who say we should love everybody is that they look at us with hate in their eyes because we are unwilling to say to them, it's okay, I love you enough to let you go to hell.
I think that folks who are reluctant to go down the road that you've described are expecting to hear the person with whom they're interacting say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to sit in judgment of me or of my behavior or my preferences? Now
I'm going to back you up for just a minute. So far,
wait,
I've told
you. You know what?
You.
You're going to have to back me up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
By the way, it takes a big forklift to back me up, buddy.
Been there, done that.
All right, you're listening to the Bible Study. Pastor Richard Moore is with us here today. Pastor up in Minnesota, Winona, Minnesota, St. Martin Lutheran Church. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So what do you think? I'd like to hear from you. Are you reluctant to share your faith? Do you find it easy? I think most folks are reluctant. We'll be right back.
So, you think you're good at trivia, huh? We'll find out and have fun doing it at the AM 850 KFUO Grand Champion Trivia Night, Saturday, January 26th at Laclede Groves. AM 850 KFUO and Lutheran Senior Services bring you the Grand Champion Trivia Night, Saturday, January 26th. Tables of 8 to 10 encouraged. Get your gang together and call 505-7874 for reservations today. Tables are going fast. Call now, 505-7874.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, inviting you to spend a relaxing hour with me each weekday noon hour. You'll hear my spin on inspirational quotes, you'll get real-life stories with a biblical application, along with Christ-centered music and God's peace through the Word to help still the storms and encourage you along life's way every single day. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance each weekday at 12:05 right here on AM 850 KFUO.
Was Charles Darwin the first evolutionist? The answer next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
The theory of evolution did not begin with Charles Darwin. the Greek philosophers who chose not to believe that there is a creator God tried to explain the origin of everything by time and chance. That great statesman, Thomas Jefferson, lived in the generation before Charles Darwin and had been influenced by the writings of some of the German and English philosophical writers. Jefferson was at home in six languages, had three earned doctorates, and was well versed in the sciences, yet he pointedly rejected the idea of evolution. Jefferson was not a believing Christian, but he wrote in defense of the Creator. Here are some of his words. "I hold, without appeal to revelation, that when we take a view of the universe in its parts, general or particular, it is impossible for the human mind not to perceive and feel a conviction of design, consummate skill, and an indefinite power in every atom of its composition. It is impossible for the human mind not to believe that there is, in all this, design, cause, and effect, up to an ultimate cause, a fabricator of all things." We might add that the creation testifies abundantly to the creator, or fabricator as Jefferson calls him. Moreover, this creator has a deep love for his creation, and especially for you and I, through his son, Jesus Christ.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. That's 1-800-422-4253. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
The season of Epiphany, the season of the revelation of the gospel to this dark world, sometimes thought of as the season after Christmas and before Lent. During the month of January, during this time of Epiphany, perhaps you could bring some light to this world with your day sponsorship of this gospel voice. Your announcements would light a candle during this time in between. There are dates in January available to you right now. Become an Epiphany Day sponsor of AM 850 KFUO.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family's Weekend Magazine. Coming up this weekend, when opposites in marriage collide, finding forgiveness for an abortion, and understanding God's view of the sanctity of human life. That's all coming up this weekend on Weekend Magazine.
Saturday morning at 10:04 on AM 850 KFUO.
You're listening to the Bible Study. I'm Chuck Rather. Pastor Richard Moore is with us here today. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So Pastor Moore was in the process of getting the forklift to back me up here just before the break. What are you backing me up to, Pastor?
I'm backing you up to what you asked me and what I answered. You asked me what we should say. I have not yet suggested that you should go out and tell either the person who's had an abortion or the homosexual that they are wrong. What I told you was you should go tell them about Jesus. You should bring the gospel to them. You should tell them about your relationship and how it is a blessing to you. And you should ask them whether they're happy. Let them judge themselves. Well, they say, that's all well and good. I'm content being homosexual. I look at them and I ask, so are you truly happy? How's this going for you? I have yet to find someone who doesn't have some situation or problem or consternation or battle that they are fighting because of their choice.
Is that your entry point?
Yeah.
And when you enter, what do you say?
You say, I can share with you. Let me share with you how you can be happy and confident. How you can have a sense of well-being about all aspects of your life. How you can receive forgiveness for that which you feel guilty about. That's the other thing you can ask. So, do you feel guilty about anything? I'm talking about talking to people you know. I'm not talking about stopping someone on the street. Yeah. But we all have neighbors and friends or family members who are in the midst of this, I'm a humanist, and I'm going to do my own thing. And we need to start with them where they are. You know, if humanism and being the center of your universe is so great. How's it going? Why are you on antidepressants? Why can't you sleep at night? Why are you sitting in my office talking to me at all?
Let's take a telephone call here. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Donna. You're on the Bible study.
Hi. There is a simple remedy. The pastor is correct.
A simple remedy. That's what I'm looking for.
Right. And many Christians no longer hear the real truth, the basic down to earth. While he was talking, I was thinking of the hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story, of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. We no longer hear that. And when you go to church, many churches, they're just celebrating, they're jumping up and down, they're cheering, and there's a lot of enthusiasm, but sadly, that's not going out into the world. It's a lot of hot air, and Pastor's right. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the
I talk. Thought she was going to tell me, and Pastor was the cause of it. Yeah, but she's right. The problem is when we abandon, and now I'm picking on clergy, okay? But when the clergy abandon preaching from the Word and go to preaching, oh, whatever social problem of the day we're doing, then we're no longer doing what God has called us to do.
Well, you know, I hear you saying that, and I agree with you. I mean, we say that all the time here on the program. And maybe I am guilty of misjudging what we might call the typical American listener. Maybe these people are less hostile than I think they are. My picture of the typical candidate for the gospel, in the context that you suggested, somebody that you know and somebody who is struggling with something, whatever it is that if you go there, you're going to get the stop sign. Now you're meddling. Now you're getting involved in personal, private things, and I don't want to talk to you about that or anybody else. What I hear you saying is maybe that hostility is not as pronounced as I think it is.
Normally that hostility, and that hostility does on occasion come, okay? But normally that hostility comes because we put them in a defensive situation. I have not yet suggested that you say to them what you're doing is wrong, okay? There will come a point when you need to. But what you need to do first is listen to them. There's no one on earth who doesn't want to be listened to. I'm willing to go on the radio long distance, right?
Yep.
We want to be listened to. So when the person is talking to you, and this is the opening for us, when the person is talking to us and they are saying, my life is falling apart, I don't know what to do, I'm never happy anymore, you don't say, well, that's because you're homosexual and you got to learn to bring your life into a relationship with the Lord. You say, tell me about it. What's going on? And as they lay out for you how they are unhappy and how their life is not, in fact, working, then you have the ability to say, you know, sometimes I feel that way too. And one of the ways I deal with that is prayer. Because I have a relationship with the Lord, I know I can go to Him and He listens to me. I know I can go to Him and it makes a difference. You open up for them the idea that church is not about slamming you for what you are or who you've done, first and foremost. It's about telling you what Jesus is and who Jesus is and what He's done. And then when they say, but what about, you know, can I be this? You say, you know, the Lord says this is the way we should live our lives. And He does that because when we live our lives this way, they are better. The rules aren't made just so we can jump through some hoops. The rules are made because when we interact with one another in this way, with forgiveness and mercy and love, when we live our lives in a way that it brings it into a agreement with God's will, our lives are better.
Let's take another call here. Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Linda, you're on the Bible study.
Hi, Brother Radford. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
I am fine. It's good to hear your voice.
Good to be on again.
Well, I think the most important thing Christians can do is pray for everyone, for even people, strangers. I say, Lord, help me be a better stranger. And we've all been in contact with families who are struggling, like the first family you were talking about. You know, you see their marriage is in trouble. You take their hands and you pray the blood of Jesus with them, you know. And I've seen the Lord heal. And even like the homosexual, these people who are there, I mean, they know more than you think they know. They know it's just killing them, and there's nothing they can do, I guess. But I prayed for someone in our family that I love so much. She didn't know I was praying. She's my niece. And I just took it to prayer, and I kept praying. Next thing I knew, she was moving out of that situation. She's out of it, and she didn't know I was praying. Her mom didn't even know I was praying about it because it's a very sensitive situation. So I think prayer, deliverance, and praying the blood of Jesus, praying on the grounds of atonement, the Lord can work through that prayer.
Pastor?
Prayer is always a good idea. God tells us to come to Him with our burdens, and He will give us rest. He tells us to not have anxiety about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He has opened the way of prayer to us so that we can, in fact, come to Him. But let us not suggest, and I am thrilled that her prayer was successful, but let us not suggest that every time we pray, we will get what we think is the best solution. I pray for things, and sometimes the Lord gives me a very resounding no. Because, you see, prayer is part of our submissiveness to the Lord. We go to Him in prayer, we tell Him what our anxiety is, we tell Him what our trial is, we ask Him for His help, and then we accept His will concerning that issue, even when it isn't my will concerning that issue.
There's another caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James, you're up next. Good morning.
Good morning. Pastor, let's presuppose that the consequence of modernization is the development of a more secular culture.
Okay.
So then my question would be, would not the office of the keys be the biggest gun that we can utilize in these kind of cultural wars?
When your mom makes cookies,
yes,
and she has them out on the cooling rack, and she has to run to the store for another pound of butter, and she looked at you and said, don't touch the cookies. If you do, you'll be in trouble. Did that keep you from taking a cookie and rearranging them in hopes you wouldn't see them?
No.
Hey, no, wait a minute here.
Did it?
No,
we didn't know there was going to be a test.
The law only works while the enforcer is standing over you.
Okay, well,
the gospel changes hearts.
Okay.
So the best thing we can do, as a matter of fact, God makes us ambassadors, it says. In 1 Corinthians, it says, you are now ambassadors of the message of what? Reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, He does not make you an ambassador of the message of hellfire, brimstone, and judgment. Not your job.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, if there are believers practicing something like racism or involved in oppression,
now you just changed the rules on me. You went from saying, what do we do to society and what do we do with believers? We are to judge believers.
Okay.
I want to go back
according to God's word.
I want to go back to the office of the keys.
But God does not give us the ability or the right or the privilege to be judging the non-believers. They're not part of our family. We are told to go out and proclaim the truth to them, the truth of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness, which changes hearts. Once they're part of the family, then we can say, now, the Lord has told us how we're to live. But if I go out and I just stand on a street corner and I say to all the gays walking by, the Lord has said you shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's not going to bring them to faith.
So
what brings
kingdom.
Them to faith is the gospel. Once they're in faith,
mm-hmm.
then the Lord, by the work of his Spirit, will change their hearts to see their sin. I don't know about you. I've been a Christian for a very long time. There are some things I was doing as a young Christian that I honestly thought pleased God, and I now know are sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's called spiritual maturity. But you can't hope for spiritual maturity on those who are spiritually dead.
Okay.
And only the gospel will bring them to life.
Okay. Well, God bless you, Pastor. May your tribe increase.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to figure out.
With the cookies, huh?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how we went from the office of the keys to the mom's cookie rack there.
It's really simple. The office.
You left me in the dust.
He wanted me to motivate by law, and I was merely pointing out that when mom tried to motivate him by law, it didn't work because the law only works if she's there to slap my hand when I'm reaching for it.
What is the office of the keys?
The office of the keys is the office of the pastoral ministry where we proclaim not only salvation but also damnation upon those who violate God's law. The keys and confession, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We are called upon to judge within the body of Christ. But outside of the body of Christ, we are not called to judge. And inside the body of Christ, we're only called to judge what God's Word has clearly already judged. It's not our judgment, but our showing God's judgment from His Word.
So you would, to an unbeliever, you would give them the gospel before you would give them the law?
To an unbeliever, you have to... They have to be aware of their sin before the gospel makes sense, but I do not need to tell them every aspect of their life is useless and they cannot be a child of God. What I have to tell them is, do you see that there's a problem in your life? God is willing to forgive you and to restore you. So yes, there needs to be a proclamation of the law so that they're prepared for the gospel. But I'll tell you what, you'd be surprised how many people actually already know the law without it being proclaimed by a Christian.
And what you do, if I understand you correctly now, going back, you've backed me up, congratulations, that doesn't happen very often, is...
I let them tell me what's going wrong in their
life.
Find
out how the law has already worked on them.
Exactly. And then share with them how they can have freedom from that.
Here's another caller. Hi, Chet. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Pastor Moore, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, blessings. A lot of blessings to you. I just have to speak to this issue. You know, the whole thing, in a nutshell for me, is Christians, we just have to start proclaiming what we believe. I mean, in the office where I work, there's an African-American who's a cleric with the Nation of Islam. There's a couple of Jehovah Witnesses, some nominal Christians, and some milquetoast Catholics. And no one wants to really proclaim who Christ is. You know, even though we're going to withstand some opposition and some rejection, Pastor Moore, that's simply what we have to do. Even though none of us are perfect and can totally exemplify what God tells us to do, we still must make a stand for Christ. And I appreciate your program.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, my favorite thing is people who tell me I can't talk to Muslims about my faith because they point out my sin. They point out how I fail to live up to it. Well, then point out how they fail to live up to it. The whole thing of being a Muslim is supposed to be being submissive to Allah, okay? They're supposed to be 5 times a day when they pray. They're supposed to be fasting. They're supposed to be all sorts of things that I guarantee you, if you go to your average American Muslim, they don't follow the rules particularly well. If they're going to say, I'm a hypocrite, I'm going to agree with them. You're right. I'm a hypocrite sometimes. How about you? Because it undercuts their ability to say, I shouldn't listen to you because you're a hypocrite. Because if they shouldn't listen to me because I sometimes sin, then I shouldn't listen to them because they're not fulfilling their religious belief fully either. So let's get past that I can throw stones at you and let's just share. Go ahead, tell me what you believe. When you're done telling me what you believe, I can tell you about Jesus.
I wonder if Chet is popular at work.
He's about to become less popular because he said he wasn't doing this yet, but he knows he has to. And he's right, though.
Yeah.
He's right. Why should we as Christians be the only... How does he know there's a Muslim and a Jehovah's Witness in his workplace? Because they've said something. Why are we as Christians the only ones who are afraid to share our faith? I'm not telling you attack the other faith. Just share yours. Tell them, oh, that's what you believe? This is what I believe. And when they say, I already know what Christians believe, you can say to them, you know, I'm not sure you really do, because there's a lot of stuff out there running around that's not Christian that people think is. Let's talk about it.
The deck is kind of stacked against us, it seems.
Well, you know what you do when the deck is stacked against you? You shuffle it.
Yeah. Well, sir, I appreciate your courage. I appreciate your energy. I think you represent the minority, though.
I think deep down inside every Christian.
Were you ever afraid to do this?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, and you're not going to believe this, but when I make plans to go out and make evangelism calls in my community, cold calls, I'm still nervous.
That is hard to believe.
Okay.
Knowing you,
I will put off making evangelism calls because there are things I'd rather do. Okay?
Yeah.
But that's one of the areas the Lord has to still pick me up and slap me on the side of the head. And I understand that because what I'm called here to do first and foremost is proclaim Christ. And I should be doing that not only to my members, not only to my shut-ins, not only to those who visit, but especially to those who don't. And so I force myself to make these calls.
We were talking.
And once I start them, I'm glad I'm out there doing them. But I still have that, oh, it's evangelism night, response. And that's just Satan pushing all my buttons going, you know, they might not want to hear it. You know, they might slam the door in your face. You know, you could be doing something else. Could be. And every time I do that instead, I'm giving in to Satan's desire for me not to do what the Lord put me here to do.
So in these situations, we often talk about, well, what should you do if you get the door slammed in your face? Or what should you do if the situation becomes contentious or if offense is given? What about the other side of the coin? What's it like? Can you describe like one experience where you're thinking, oh, it's evangelism night, and you're feeling kind of reluctant, but you go out and do it anyway, and at the end of the evening, you have a success?
Absolutely.
Can you describe like one memorable success?
Well, you know what? I want to describe one non-memorable success.
Okay.
Because we have these things where, you know, the person all but at that moment asks to be baptized. I mean, that happens occasionally. But success is where you go in and you hear their story and you talk to them about Christ and you tell them about God's grace and they tell you about how they're not sure about whether they really can buy into this or believe this. And I don't know, maybe I'll visit and maybe I won't. And at the end of the whole thing, you say, would it be okay if I dropped back and saw you again sometime in the future? And they say, yeah, that'd be nice. That's success. You proclaimed God's word, and they're open to hearing more. Success doesn't have to be they turn over their life of crime, confess everything they've ever done wrong, and become a preacher, which is what people are looking for. Success doesn't have to be I made an evangelism call, and the whole family and their extended family came to church on Sunday and joined adult Bible class. Success is you have spoken the word of God, which then God's Spirit will work in their hearts and minds, and they have said, thank you. That's success. That's dance in the street success.
I think we're going to have to get you a grant and start shipping you around the country. I think you've got something to share. Are you ready to travel?
Oh, I came to Minnesota.
How's your wife doing, by the way?
She is doing better in the barometric pressure changes and weather changes that trigger her migraines are not as severe up here, so she has actually been less pain up here than in St. Louis. It's not gone. We're still fighting the battle. But she is doing considerably better here and able to participate in more things that she wants to do, and so that's a blessing.
And she had some, Lori had some back issues too, didn't she?
Yeah, those are pretty much gone.
That's pretty much gone. You had some back issues?
Yeah, I had major back surgery a few years ago,
and
a lot of years ago now, about 15.
And you're back in the ring.
Yeah, as one of my members puts it, you know, I'm fat and sassy.
Yeah. Well, you know, we began this, this has been good because we began this hour in conversation. It's depressing to see the horrible things that people are doing to other people in our country today. And you're right. I know that there was a time when God looked through the whole earth and the heart of man was only evil continually and all that kind of stuff. But it's gotten particularly
depressing,
heinous, and depressing here recently, and you've given us some hope, and I think you've also probably given some encouragement that somebody will use in the days and weeks ahead. And I don't know. I'm praying that somebody will email me or call me and say, you know what, I heard what Pastor Moore said, and here's what I did, and this is what happened.
Well, that would be neat. And I'll tell you what, if someone's out there going, okay, that's all well and good, but I don't know how I'd make that work. Let them call you and give them my phone number. I'll talk to them.
Yeah?
Yeah. You can email me.
Okay.
You know me well enough to know that.
Sure, I do. Now I have your permission.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that somebody does that.
Well, you know, if we can make a difference in lives by merely encouraging one another, which we can, why don't we?
Yeah, encouragement would go a long way, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Especially for discouraged folks. All right, well, you've encouraged me, Pastor, and I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you again. We'll look forward to your next visit here with us on the Bible study.
All right. Blessings, Chuck.
And blessings to you. That's Pastor Richard Moore. He is pastor up in Minnesota. The city, the town is Winona, Minnesota, and the church is St. Martin Lutheran Church. Tomorrow, we will move along in Matthew chapter 5 here on our Bible study program, verses 21 through 48. And our guest for the textual part of our Bible study will be Pastor Michael Walther, our good friend from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, where they have their annual women's event coming up here pretty soon. I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that a little bit. Our Ask the Pastor guest next time on the Bible study in the 11:05 hour will be Pastor Ken Wagoner. He is a pastor at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Macomb, Michigan. And he'll be taking your questions and comments for Ask the Pastor. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the phone calls, and we'll see you next time.
Listen to Chuck Rather and guests Monday through Friday at the same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the Internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of The Bible Study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible Study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.